In this way, Kadachit, Santaris, Nibasa, Nathalis, Naman, Naman, Gomen, Wealth, Ani, and Savory, Anika, and various others, Atma, Purpa, Jivana. If I consider necessary, to maintain body and soul together. I hold my emotion, a person fully absorbed, gets us young, in this, samsara of timeline. The eternal world, which is like a great forest, Sita Chaka, here and there, sometimes the condition say was absorbed in finding residential quarters for the campus, and only a supply of meals and matches to maintain his body. Avoid inquiring a variety of necessities, keep against everything and perpetual maximum. Of material existence. Quote unquote. Sometimes the conditions are as a soldier who finds a residential quarters, or a purpose, and goal is to find a way of riches to maintain his body. Absorbed in acquiring a variety of necessities, he forgets everything and perpetually runs around the forest of material existence. Purport by Shenzhen. As originally mentioned, a poor man belonging to the mercantile community goes to the forest to get some cheap goods to bring back to the city to sell their profit. He is so absorbed in the dharma of maintaining body and soul together that he forgets his original relationship with Krishna and seeks only the bodily comforts. Thus, material activities have conditioned souls only in mindfulness. Not knowing the aim of life, the materialist perpetually wanders in material existence, struggling to get the necessities of life. Not understanding the aim of life, even though he acquires sufficient necessities, he manufactures unofficial necessities and thus becomes more and more entangled. He creates a mental situation whereby he needs greater and greater comforts. The materialist does not know the secret of nature's ways. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 3.27, the bewildered soul, under the influence of the three modes of material nature, thinks himself to be the doer of activities which are in actuality carried out by nature. Even as to desire, living entity creates a certain mental situation whereby he wants to enjoy this material world. He then becomes entangled, enters different bodies, and suffers in them. Translation again. Sometimes the conditioned soul is absorbed in finding residential quarters or payments and God will supply more than riches to maintain his body. Besides the preparing a variety of necessities, he protects everything and perpetually runs around a forest of material existence. So in this verse, the first thing is that the general activities that the indigenous souls are engaged in. And he protects Krishna for his six bodily comforts. So, as the goal is to preserve the air, attempting to get free from their condition, and we want to accept only those things that are necessary for us, for our needs is. It is always being kind of stressing how the conditioned soul is accepting even artificial necessities. So, I mean, the word necessities alone means that it's necessary. So, artificial necessities means that they're not satisfied with what they already have. And therefore, they created some new idea, which then they want to be satisfactory. And of course, it never will. Because the material activities will never satisfy the soul. So when Sri Shukrasan Vansi 1 says, Ishivasha Yavansi 1, Jat Kishat, Jat Kishat, Shakar Jat, all of the day of which you have a lot of things and keep straight on them. If anything, I don't know, is within the universe, is controlled and owned by the Lord. Or to take itself all the lessons necessary for himself, which is set aside as his quota, and not to not accept other things that are well to whom they belong. So that's the standard that we must to achieve. We want to accept only those things that are necessary, especially in relation to emotional service. He says, if we accept more than our quota, then basically we'll become a thief. It says in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, chapter 14, verse 8, Prabhat, the Lord makes them, but by Kaha Satsang, he damned them. Pray come well beyond Yanta, Sastail, the Parvati. And make plenty of proprietorship to as much wealth as required to maintain body and soul together. and some desires for leadership over your or not must be considered a thief, and he deserves to be punished by the laws of nature. And in the proof of it, your prophet says that if the head does have more than what it requires, then that knowledge is self-sufficient. He says, according to the greatest civilization, it should all be given to the Christian consciousness to live it, has ordered over a Christian his time, and other of the knowledge of his army. Yet to Roshi, not as Roshi, not to Hoshi, to Nasiya, not to Koshans, because they are not to Roshi, but to Rakhina. So, translation is, on Son of Plenty, all that you do, all that you eat, and all that you offer, and give away, as well as all sins you may perform, should be done as an offering unto me. And then Papa continues in that first word, he says that if the house should spend any extra money, only for the Christian conscious movement. And so therefore, the Christian conscious movement affords one an opportunity to spend his extra earnings to benefit all human society by expanding Christian consciousness. In India, he says, especially, we see hundreds and thousands of temples that were constructed by the wealthy men of society who did not want to be called thieves, would be punished. So I see that a wonderful example, and we continue to have that opportunity to build our temple here, the temple on the Great Planetarium, and other temples around the world. So in this purple, it says another point, it talks about the secret of nature's ways. And then, he's quoting the verse of the Supreme Mind, in which, in a paper with Shri Prabhupada, he says in the purple, that the ignorant man forgets that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is known as Rishikesh, or the master of the senses of the Shri Mind. For due to his long misuse of the senses and sense meditation, he is actually bewildered by the false ego, which makes him forget his eternal relationship with Krishna. And one time in Jalapur, I see something more, Srila Prabhupada said that nature is working by the order of Krishna. Therefore, the ultimate cause is Krishna. So let us. Those are some of the spiritual spouses. He's really always been about the Christian. There's pretty much in a whole of Prabhupada's books. You want to see that Prabhupada's point is Christian conscious. He was even once criticized by some scholars that he's adding a Christian. Why should he be adding a Christian consciousness? It's not there in the verse. It is there in the verse. And Srila Prabhupada is seeing that. And that's why his books are so amazing to me. Yesterday, somebody else was talking about the importance of being grateful to your Prabhupada. And if you can't be too grateful, it's impossible to actually retain the debt we have to our spiritual master, to your Prabhupada. And he's everyone's spiritual master. He's the Shiksha Guru of everyone in Islam. And some of us will also take a diksha. So, I just wanted to share with you that there's a new book by the GBC, very rare, the GBC makes them. And it's called Srila Prabhupada, the Founder of Charya of Islam. So, anybody have a copy of this book? Very few. And this book has actually been sponsored by Michael Chamberlain, and it's free. And I did make some endeavor to find out where it's available here in the airport. It was available during the islands. And since then, I haven't figured out where it's available. But I will continue to search, and I'm very in a few weeks. So when I find out, I'll bring copies here and just give you that. But this book is all about understanding Srila Prabhupada's position as the founding chair of his hand. And it's really important to know that. And There's other details in this book written by Evans, who is actually a committee of the GDC in the Minnesota home that produced this point. One of the strategic planning committees. Anyway, that was to make clear what Chappell's position is. And I researched very extensively the history of the term founder Canada. It's a very original term. This is half English, founder, and half Sanskrit, Canada. So we're going to find a combination like that. So he researched it, the history of that position, and then he researched really thoroughly the fact that what happened in the colonial lands, like why did it fall apart when Chinookism or the first one was not designed? As I understand, it was only about 2 months after that design that the organization he had created fell apart. He has established 64 monks, and the preaching, it was like a machine, it was going on, so many people were engaged, it was moving forward. And he's established the governing body commission, so Bhaktisiddhanta established that as the head of his organization to make sure that it would continue. He didn't name an Acharya to replace him. He established a GDC. But then, as I say, within 2 months, he rejected the GDC and he started a battle. Who was going to be the Acharya? Who was going to get the monks? And it was in the courts for about 40 years or more. Meanwhile, as the preaching ended. The preaching ended. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's mission was to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. So Srila Prabhupada, it's exciting in this book how Srila Prabhupada established ISKCON as the extension of his own realization. It wasn't that he just wanted to, he didn't just reject what his guru did and start something new. It really was a continuation with a new name. That was the only difference, a new name. Of course, Srila Prabhupada had the hippies on there, mostly, to help him spread the mission. Since I can find Srila Prabhupada's like a database and aware of these statistics, more than half of Srila Prabhupada's disciples are from America. But even those who are from other countries, we're still dealing with the youth. We're not living up to any standards whatsoever. I'm just comparing the people that he empowered to help him spread the mission. They're quite different than the Bhaktisiddhanta and the sannyasis who were part of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's mission. It's very clear in this book how we're all connected very intimately to Srila Prabhupada. And if we feel that our relationship with him isn't well established, then our might will to make it deeper. It has a balance between the Shikharin and the Shikharama, minimizing the importance, and then minimizing the importance of the Shikharama. But this Shikharin relationship is, in order for this movement to go on in a strong way, and over time, without any disruptions, and that relationship with him must be established and deepened. And I just want to admit to you all that this is the first time I've been in the library, except that in the late 90s, there was a short period of time when women were encouraged to be here, to have a different class, and of course, obliged to take a class at that time. What I want to share with you is that a woman in who initiated our field of law, we never expected to get class. We sat at the back of the room and asked what he said. The other day, Dr. Gershman was in class. He said he was a new devotee and he was being asked to do the study of instruction. And I said, wow, that is quite a difference in my experience. Not only was I never asked to do the lecture, I mean, it's new, it never happened. That's what I wanted. And after being a devotee for 33 years, finally, when I'm going to finish the class in America, and it was his pick for quite a while. I know I wasn't qualified. So, and not only that, there's an expectation that because somebody's been in America for many years, and I've just been dwelling out for 43 years, so there's an expectation that I'm going to get a class on the level. People who are beginning to say they're new ones. And there are two women who gave classes on the temples on one hand, ladies that I know who regularly gave classes in temples, but there were women who were in temples every time on the other side who had a chance to take class. But I was talking about a teacher and I'm only doing this for my own profession and but as you can imagine in the Mayapur community, for establishing a day of regular class, it's going on all yesterday. So it's really good that it's happening there. World headquarters. I think we're both of the women's issue conference, so I feel that I've already shared my memories, but maybe some of you haven't read it. Back in the past, Friday was unintentionally in one of these books where you get classes, so I thought eventually I want to make a show called this study. And most of my memories of show are here in Mayapur. I was very fortunate to come to the Cool Korean Festival of 1975, and I just loved India so much when I'm out here. Although I told her planning a while back and I had an important service that was composed and shared upon his books. But when I convinced my colleagues that there was other devotees who could take over my service, as I heard about it later, they weren't very many to do that. But I convinced them to stay in India after service in Vrindavan, because the festival that year was the India events in Vrindavan. And then from Vrindavan, I had to go back for a few weeks and get a new visa, and I came back and Shri Prabhupada was in Vrindavan. It was like September 75. And I had to stay there and have to tell Prabhupada's books, and put his books, some of his letters, and then I was just kind of strange. But I was supposed to go to and be Gopal Krishnaraj's secretary. But once I got there, he kind of went over and didn't know shorthand, which he expected I knew. So he didn't really want me as a secretary. So I was there in Mumbai, and I talked to somebody who happened to come through, looking for more devotees to come to my board. He was trying to recruit devotees for one thing. And they said, well, we've got to stay one day a week. And it wasn't me, right? So at the last minute, this lady just changed her mind. She didn't want to be on me. So I was right there. I wanted to go. And he had a list of services he needed from her, and one of them was secretary. So I said, I can be the secretary. I definitely was a class service. And so that's how I went to Henry Library. He gave me something like 250 rupees to take the journey here. And what was the matter? No one knew. that's 7-8 months of still valid because I was at 61 initially. But anyway, when I came to Medicare, there was approximately 125 developments that I needed. There were buildings where a profit fashion future was there. Across with was a go down, which is no longer there. A very solid structure. There were a lot of disillusion. And there was a modest building. And the big kitchen, which included a great persona in it. We only call it, what's it called? It's Storm. Storm of Kitchen. That was the kitchen. The woman, the Western woman, all six of us, we lived above the kitchen. They were the grandma, mothers, and their children lived on the boundary wall on the kitchen. The men lived also on the boundary wall, further down towards the country. The food pool was also on the boundary wall. I think just past the country. And even the main gate wasn't completed. In fact, Sheila Popeye inaugurated that front gate when he arrived in Manipura in January of 1976. And I very much remember the kirtan before Prabhupada Jalani, having gathered at the front gate and chanting for a long time. We didn't know exactly, it was like South Wales against that time. It was terrifying how it worked. Most of the conversations on the telephone was, "I can't hear you." Pretty much what it was. And so, we were outside waiting, and I really had this feeling that the body and all the different spirits, just spirit cells, chanting, Hare Krishna together, Westerners from various countries, the Bengali devotees, everyone just chanting together. Just felt like we were beyond, I felt it, for a moment, beyond the Bhagavad concept. And then the Srila Prabhupada arrived. We were so happy to see him, and we were handed on a pair of scissors and cut this ribbon in front of the front gate. We all cheered, it was completely done. And then he walked from the front gate to the men's building. The temple was on the ground floor of the men's building. And we all walked with him and shared some of the bliss. And Prabhupada's arrival at us, when he sat down after he took off one of the DVDs and so on, sat down with us, in his arrival at us, he was saying how we were the real United Nations. And it just completely was, how I was feeling. Like, we were just beyond these designations of the body, male, female, American, Russian, Chinese, Indian. It was really a wonderful experience to be in Manipur with Srila Prabhupada. But I had seen Srila Prabhupada during the Fourth Day Festival. There was hundreds of devotees. I mean, probably it was only 400 devotees or so, I'd say, that came to that festival. I was seeing as crowded as it was today. Seeing like so many devotees and from so many different countries. And we were all there in Srila Prabhupada, but when Prabhupada came in January of 76, it was just a handful. I don't even remember any extra devotees arriving just because Srila Prabhupada came. Srila Prabhupada's routine was that he would do Srila Bhagavatam class at 6 o'clock in the morning. And then the calling of the devotees. So, one of the first days, our school secretary, Srila Prabhupada to pray in the Mother Mercy streets. Srila Prabhupada had already gotten there for all this year's time to end the whole program. And he was another popular one of his own. And then the women started gathering around him, the little boys, little boys gathered around him, and he started distributing the moral righteousness to little boys. So then the next day, Jenny also brought the chair of moral righteousness earlier, while she was still sitting on the bathtub. And so the little boys, one by one, came and held out a hand and called out the moral righteousness. And he was breaking the sweets into pieces to make it go further. So then there was still some left, so some of the men came forward and he distributed them to them. And this started, this became a regular, everyday occurrence. And soon as the father started breaking the sweets into smaller and smaller pieces so that it would go around for everybody. So on many days, even the ladies, it was still enough for the ladies to come forward, it was say, six of us. Because one of the ladies, they could not seriously chant jumping at that time. They were given chances and they were just kind of talking to each other. So Sheila Papa said, they drop it with service. So they went to the kitchen and they started to say them. And then they would quick chant, there was a couple of quick chants. And then Papa not only gave them first initiation, but gave them second initiation. He gave all the ladies, everybody who lived in my apartment, the first initiation. And he was a great little boy, even. But he only asked for the first initiation. Second initiation, they had to be able to share 16 minutes seriously. Anyway, that's it. So, not time to worry that the other ladies weren't there, or just a few ladies. And those two times, I remember going up to Sheila Papa. He wouldn't just drop that sweet in your hand. He pushed it into my hand. And that was amazing. There's many songs that I remember. Yes. When I see Sheila Papa in other places, I was always hesitant to go to Sheila Papa's even going to, even though it was an open version. Because I had been trained up, the things I learned as a new devotee were very deeply ingrained. And one of the things that Dhammadhar does in Washington, D.C. Temple, that ingrained into me, was that we're not meant to gawk at the spiritual master, that's a word to use. We have to just stare at him. We are meant to serve. So, don't only serve, and not just gawk. So I thought like this, the even darshanas were in that category of body. And so instead, in Vrindavan when I was there in September of 75, before I came to Hong Kong, I came proper quarters upstairs. It's upstairs quarters, and all of us getting darshan downstairs. And then in Bombay, I saw him this one time, met with another devotee, so I had a question. And one of the ones that came up, you know, I'm going to have this opportunity to get for a constellation. Why don't you take advantage of it while you can? And that seemed to make sense. I'll tell you the reason I never was. And the question I had, I couldn't even get it all out of where I wanted to say it. I wanted to get Papa's permission to have my own duty. And it's only because I was humble of comparing myself to other people, and I was comparing myself to two ladies who Papa had given a duty. One of them was like 33 years old. That was considered very old at that time. And everybody was a teenager and in their 20s, so she was like an old lady. And so Sheila Papa had to go to Papa and say, you know, what should I do? Should I get married or not married? And Papa had been given a small murti. It's not even a murti, it was like holy blessed. It wasn't like a murti that you worship, like more of a statue in a sense. And he had this, so he had this silver deity murti that today had given it, and he just took the deity off of his desk and handed it to him and said, you worship this bishop. So that was one case that I got on. And then the other one was Chintamani Dasi, his husband had taken sannyas. And she had small jumping of deities. And it's a whole story. And twice, on two separate occasions, he told her, Nick's younger than two husbands, Marlon, your son, and Sivanka, your daughter. So, two different dads he told me about. And so, I thought, well, I'm 29 years old. I'm really getting old now, and I've heard the people say that marriage after 30 isn't pleasing because you're fixed in your ways. So, I think I like these ladies a lot of them also. I'm going to ask you about also for a deal. I couldn't get out the way I wanted to say it. I was like, I don't have my idea. But instead, I need a third person. I said, can devotees have their own duties? And the prophet says, no. It will distract from the temple duty. So, I'll take that in time and circumstance. I was a part of training at the time. I was a householder. And then in this book, the prophet says, every householder should worship the deity of their home and they hold a temple. So, you know, let me say, I did say I was training and I married after 36 years. Not enough to say his name, so I shouldn't say things. I don't care if you're doing this. But, when I got to know it here and Papa had an evening devotion every night at 5 o'clock, I decided that I would go to this restaurant. I would accept that I should get as much show Papa's association as I possibly could. And when Keisha, Papa's younger sister, arrived, she needed a servant, and I thought there'd be a big competition with her favorite. Nobody else wanted to take over except for me, so I got together, and she wanted to go to Shiva Papa's garage every night. So then I had no excuse. And she needed help up the stairs. She just wasn't going to go alone. I got to live with her and wash her clothes, clean the room, so that's appropriate for child. But even though she didn't have her identity, she knew water and she knew wash. And that pretty much summed up matching that. Everything had to be clean. Then we had a boy that came up to me and said, tell me, Shiva, not to spend the water on me. As soon as she got to my place, she wanted a big jar full of goat's milk. She would sprinkle it on everyone, especially on Deeper. It's like she could see contamination. And maybe, you know, my thought was contamination. Somehow she saw something you couldn't see. And she would sometimes dance people's defense and worry for running them. And people would go to me and have some brains, how are they allowed to do this? But, you know, how can they tell her not to do it? She would wash banisters. She would wash the places she sat. And she, anyway, she understood water and wash. She also could count from 1 to 10, but out of the one word. Not only did she have a just kidding. That was it. That was her whole vocabulary. And even Shalva. Yes, she wanted to go to Shiva Papa's classes. That's why she. But she also went to his class, actually. She would love to go sometimes. Sometimes it doesn't happen a little bit. Papa said she was not only my sister, she's my brother's sister. She took first initiation from Shiva Papa's son, besides on Sandra. And he did say some. He said emotional things about Kishima. He would care about being fast and laugh at her. And she was so good-humored, she would laugh with him. But he also said negative things about her. And you know, she was a great devotee. I wanted to show you that tomorrow is actually her disappearance day. She left by the Akashi after Gold Panini in 1980. And it would be nice to celebrate. And they had like a ball site not to sign they offer you one? Is it Cardison? Is it tomorrow Cardison? Is it Thursday? like I said, I hope Thursday comes. So, just to share some of the analogies of St. Philip Neri in his fashion world. Born and raised in Boston, coming to America, it was extremely rare. I did come to Papa Wanda's for Shara, even if there wasn't anything available. He would tell the ladies to go to the kitchen and cook up the Shara. He would have tables left in the quarries. He would also save monkeys from the evening, masquerade art offering. They didn't go back, so we keep them in a tent, and so they always have them available. But the whole family came. It was so difficult to get here to Michael at that time, so they were guests to be taken care of, very nice, especially for them. So if a guest came to eat in Belgium, then so far we would talk to the guests. If they were a guest, then he would talk to the girls. I remember the first time Joe Papa was presented with a bar on the drone, because he claimed that was, bring them off the rest. They would break just in transit, or they would break. They're pretty much together. You go off at once, it's broken. So, in the Romans in California, developed a fiberglass vagina, and they brought the first one to Chicago. Actually, I believe it was he brought in the vagina without any warning that what he was doing, that he was bringing in the first vagina. He just brought it into Papa's quarters, got everyone's attention, especially Shiva Papa's attention. He just held the vagina up as high as he could, and then he dropped it. And it didn't break, because it's not our fiberglass. And then he picked it up and he showed it to Joe Papa and said, "Look, Joe Papa, all of the drug is made of fiberglass, it doesn't break." And there was really a process respectful to Joe Papa to do that, but he really wanted to make a point. And then Papa pretty much talked to Joe Papa and said, "Here's on." And he just played the drama and cheered on the rest of them. Another time I remember that although they had not the buddies really came to Papa's Dungeon because it was Northern English, but a group of the men and women, the men and the wives, brought to the Papa the first harvest of gore made from the sugar cane that we had grown here. And they put two peanuts in it to make it for the jungle. It was mostly gold. They put it in a plate and offered it to Shiva Kalkana. And that was the one time I just remember watching Shiva Kalkana interacting with the Alligators. I don't know what they said because it was so bad. I remember one time that a mother of one of the devotees came in, lighted it up, and offered it some kind of sweets. And she put it on Shiva Prabhupada's darshan table, and then she formulated alone, three times, as long as she could. And, Prabhupada just sat here, many times during these rituals, because it was in the evening, it would get dark, it was winter time. So it would get dark. And of course, the lights, even today, go on full on. In those times, they're off even more, but pretty much any night. And it's a very, very transcendental atmosphere. Prabhupada had some of his disciples doing ghost puja, he called it. And they had dry today, incense, camphor, charcoal that they would put frankincense and rye on it, or different substances that sort of bubble smoke everywhere. And it would often sprinkling waters in the doorways and the windows and everywhere, and then start at the top of the lotus building and circumambulate the whole floor and go down the next in front of your desk, you know, the next floor. So you will hear it. You hear that. There's also one morning in the morning at Coachella. And there it was a morning, station, I think it was. He could blow it nonstop. He somehow breathed in one nostril or something and he blew out the pressure. He just didn't take a breath. It was just nonstop. And you hear this getting louder and louder, and it's such an amazing thing to have an experience to be in the dark often because the lights are on, and hear this kirtan and the sounds of the talk show, of the bell, and everything, and voice getting closer. And then it comes to the room, and the room was like filled up with all this smoke. And I said, hey, I want to talk about my parties. It's basically establishing a relationship as a spirit soul, an octagon, a Christian soul, you know, that you know, an AD servant, and I'm a very fallen, a sinner, like verses like that. I can email, it's called Padya Panchika, and you can give me your email address. Anyone wants an email address, I can email you those guys. I've learned from Satya Nanda Maharaj during Delta Retreat. He said this is his personal prayer. And so then there was a woman who wanted to know what it is. And he had already published it in one of his books. It's only a secret prayer. It's very good prayer to chant before chanting Kathleen so that we remember who we are. And Deepa and I are chanting. Thank you very much.
Thank you.